Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio and your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 206, and the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in and join us. That's 855-212-4227. You could also find me on the good old cesspool of Twitter. Interact with me via Twitter as well, at Zach Gelb. Shoot me a follow, send me a tweet, ZACHGELB. Suss and Graceffo on the other side of the glass, and we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. James Palmer, he's been all over this Tyreek Hill situation. He was one of the first reporters. He's from the NFL Network to break the news on Friday that Tyreek Hill would receive a zero-game suspension by the National Football League. He'll join us later on in the program. And, hey, we're going to go heavy on football during the next 4 hours as we take you all the way up until 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. And when I was driving in, I was listening to Carrington, who does a great job, does a afternoon show in Kansas City and fills in occasionally on CBS Sports Radio. And it was getting me excited for football season. It really was. And I looked down at my phone, and when I was driving in, it was July 20th. Now it's July 21st. And I, you know, once I got to the station, the first thing I did was I looked at my calendar and I said, okay, we got 7 Sundays until we have the first NFL Sunday of the 2019 season. And that week one, it gets started on Thursday night. It's not the defending champs. They're going to open up the 100-year anniversary with a legendary matchup with the Packers and the Bears. So you get a little Chicago defense with Khalil Mack going up against Aaron Rodgers and the new-look Packers team led by first-year head coach Matt LaFleur. So that's the Thursday night game. Then your Sunday slate is as followed. Chiefs-Jaguars, good matchup. Falcons-Vikings, good matchup. Titans-Browns, a lot of buzz with the Browns for this upcoming season. You have a little Bills-Jets, so you get Graceffo a little excited to see a little Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. Dolphins and Ravens, Redskins and Eagles. Can this be the year that Carson Wentz stays healthy? Rams and Panthers. Cam Newton, will he be playing week one? You have the Rams with Jared Goff and also their head coach and Sean McVay. We know what their defense is capable of. We know what the offense is capable of. But can Jared Goff take that next step? You have a fun matchup between the Colts and the Chargers. Bengals and Seahawks. A little Giants and Cowboys week one. 49ers and Buccaneers, Lions and Cardinals, and then the Sunday Night Football game is the game that I will actually be at in Foxborough, Massachusetts, at Gillette Stadium. You have the Steelers and the Pats, and then the Monday doubleheader will be Texans and Saints and Broncos and Raiders. So a very good week one slate, and you get the matchups, you write them down, and you count down the Sundays, or if your team plays on Thursday or Monday. In week one, you count down the Thursdays and the Mondays. But I'm very excited for this upcoming season. And when we enter this season, you start to think, well, who has the most pressure? And it could be a coach, it could be a GM, or it could be a player. And when I started to think about this and go through all the teams, here are the players and coaches, in my opinion, that I think are under the most pressure as we get ready and count down the Sundays. You start to prepare and think about what your Sunday routine will be. You got to make sure you got the chips and the dip, the pigs in the blanket. You got to have the beer. If you're tailgating at the stadium, it's week one. Maybe you get a little filet mignon and you get a little steak going. Get the shrimp on the grill and all that. And I can't wait. So you start to think about how you're going to spend your Sunday, whether it's at home, whether it's at the game, whether you go to your local establishment, whatever it is. And you start to talk yourself up and you start to talk your team up. And you now, with training camp approaching, you start to say it's either our year or you're going to have a bad year or you don't know how this is going to unfold. And when I look at pressure in the National Football League, I'll start with the Steelers. I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on the coach and the quarterback because this is a totally different team. No Le'Veon Bell. He's not with the Jets. I know they didn't have him last year. You no longer have Antonio Brown. And the fallout with Antonio Brown, although Antonio Brown deserves the majority of the blame, there's also responsibility that falls on the shoulders of Mike Tomlin with the perception that he doesn't have control of that locker room. And then Big Ben lambasting Antonio Brown on the radio show in Pittsburgh. And that started to where the relationship did go south. And it did start to sour. So now we need to see Big Ben play his best football as he is an aging quarterback but still effective. And we'll see how he does play on the offensive side of the ball leading this team because it's clearly his team where you have James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster now being the other guys in Pittsburgh with a new identity with the Steelers. And for Tomlin, I know they don't make many coaching changes in Pittsburgh. If you miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, you may be on the streets looking for a new job in the National Football League. Another team with a lot of pressure, and it's good to have pressure if you're this team because that means there's expectations, that means you're relevant, and that means you may be heading in the right direction, and that's the Cleveland Browns. And when I look at the pressure with them, the first two names I think of, and I'll put Odell Beckham Jr. in the back seat right now, it's Baker Mayfield and Freddie Kitchens. And I get it. There's going to be a lot of coverage. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, day by day, the amount of footballs that get thrown their way, how they handle that, even though they're best friends and college teammates and buds growing up and all that. But with Baker Mayfield, he's going to be the person that if things don't go well for the Browns here, he's going to be the easy target. He's going to get a lot of the criticism because he is not afraid to be boisterous. He wears his emotions on his sleeves, and he wants to be very loquacious, and he wants to embrace this new attitude with the Cleveland Browns. And it's nice that you have all these weapons, and I like Baker Mayfield a lot, but he has to take that next step in year number two. And also, Freddie Kitchens, you have all these names, all these expectations. That's a tough job for a rookie head coach. So a lot of pressure on Baker and Freddie with the Cleveland Browns. Another person under pressure in the National Football League. I'm going to stay in that division. It's Lamar Jackson. That Ravens team is good. They have a good defense. They have a good coach. They have a good run game. I don't know what Lamar Jackson is, though. We saw what he could do last year. We saw he could win games, and then we've seen at times his throwing abilities aren't where they should be. And I was very clear when he was getting drafted, he has every right to be a quarterback. I didn't believe in this wide receiver nonsense. We saw what he could do in college. Now it's about showing that you have accuracy, and not only can you be a threat on the ground and protect your body, but be a threat through the air. So an enormous amount of pressure on Lamar Jackson. We'll stick with the quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, he has to stay healthy. There's no safety blanket. We know what he's capable of. In 2017, he was Houdini-esque. He could have won the MVP if he would have stayed healthy. I still think the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl with him under center, even if he didn't get hurt in that game up against the Rams out in L.A. Then last year wasn't as crisp as he should be. You had a lot of injuries with the entire Eagles organization once again, and you had Wentz on the bench once again when the season did end. This year, if it's Carson Wentz suffering another injury, Nate Sudfeld, sorry, that's not going to cut it. So Carson Wentz, as he enters this season, I know he has the talent. Now he has to prove to me that he could stay healthy. We'll stick with the quarterbacks. We'll attack another division. We'll take the trio of Trubisky with the Bears, Kirk Cousins with the Vikings, and Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. New coach for Rodgers. You get what you want. Now you have to return to the postseason. Because a lot of times, Aaron Rodgers, with how great he is, he skates free, and they assign blame in other places. This year, it's Rodgers' show once again, and this team will live and die by the play of that quarterback. For the Vikings, very good roster. Can Kirk Cousins be the guy? And we've seen many times on the big stage, primetime games, games against very good opponents, winning record opponents, you see Kirk Cousins with the money he's making, which I would all love that payday, but he has not performed to the level that he should in those games. And he comes up small in the big moments. This is a big year for Mike Zimmer. This is a big year for Kirk Cousins. And you can't have Kirk Cousins playing like you know what in the big moment. And for Trubisky, that Bears team can go to the Super Bowl. But the question is, can Trubisky elevate his game to the next level? Because we know what that Bears defense is capable of. Can Trubisky do enough and not cost that team? Let's get a few coaches into the mix now. Bill O'Brien, under a tremendous amount of pressure. It's a new, you know, it gets rid of the old GM. They'll eventually hire a new GM next year. This is on Bill O'Brien this year. And that division, it's a crapshoot. There's no excuses. They do whatever they want for Bill O'Brien in Houston. He's a good coach. We'll not call him a great coach, but he gets a lot of chances for someone that's not a great coach. And you better have that team ready to go, especially on the offensive line, and protect the quarterback to ensure that you have Watson to Hopkins and that connection is on the money. Doug Marrone, this is staying in that division. A lot of pressure on him. Would not surprise me. 2 years ago, team in the AFC Championship game. Last year, team was too talkative. Team had no control, and they didn't make the postseason. Can they bounce back during this 2019 season? Let's get to Andy Reid. Once again, we're here with the Kansas City Chiefs. We have an Andy Reid team, whether it was the Eagles or the Chiefs, that have high expectations. Can Andy Reid, when the games matter most, get out of his own way? And can that defense improve under Steve Spagnuolo? Jason Garrett enters the season without a new contract. Last year, everyone had him finished. He was done when they were 3-5. They made the big move. They got Amari Cooper. They beat the Eagles. They did a nice job on Thanksgiving, and they ended up winning the division. You can't regress this year, and that division to me is a two-team race between the Eagles and the Cowboys. If Jason Garrett doesn't make the postseason, the Cowboys could be looking for a new head coach. Dan Quinn with Atlanta. Got to the Super Bowl. Did not manage the clock well. Didn't make the playoffs last year. This is now a situation, and I get a Super Bowl 51, you had the season 52, and then this past year, Super Bowl 53. But last year was an ugly year for the Falcons. They suffered a lot of injuries. Dan Quinn has to get that team back to the postseason. And then I'll throw two more names at you, and then I'll give you one team. The two names, Jimmy G and Jared Goff. We saw what the Rams are capable of last year. Goff was a no-show in the Super Bowl. How does that affect him this year with the contract coming? And for Jimmy G, can you stay healthy? Because there's a lot of talk about Jimmy G, how he's supposed to be this and that. Until I see it, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but this is a big year coming off that injury. He has to prove it this year, that he can stay healthy and that he can play over 16 games in the National Football League. And I'll give you one last thought on pressure. The Saints. That window, you don't know how long it will last. And the last two seasons, they had their season come to, you know, a crashing stop real quickly in ways that were Saints fans don't want to remember those times. Whether it was the Minneapolis Miracle with Diggs getting the touchdown, Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs, or last year with the no pass interference call. And then in overtime, Drew Brees had the interception, the bad play calling by Sean Payton before there was the no penalty call. Can the Saints get back to the NFC Championship game? Can they punch their ticket to the Super Bowl and get Drew Brees and Sean Payton their second ring together? So those are some thoughts as we get you ready, as we're 7 Sundays away from the first football Sunday of the 2019 season. That's where I think the pressure's at. If you have a coach, if you have a player, if you have a team that you think is under a lot of pressure entering this season, love to hear your thoughts. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And that, of course, is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So get on in. Tweet me at Zach Gelb. Hit me up on the phone lines. I want to know a player, a coach, or a team that you think is under a great amount of pressure entering this 2019 NFL season.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We get you set and we get you pumped up. 7 Sundays from now, you'll be sitting on a couch. You'll be at a football stadium. The wings will be in the oven. The wings will be on the grill, depending on where you're at. Yeah, the hot dogs, the burgers, all the finger foods. Yeah, you have a blast getting ready for the first football Sunday. But with Sunday comes a lot of anxiety and comes a lot of nervousness. And you start to wonder if your team's going to be able to live up to the expectations or if they're going to rip your heart out and disappoint you. So we're looking for the player or the coach or the team that's under the most pressure entering this season. The list I gave you in the last segment: Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens, Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, the Saints, Trubisky, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, Dan Quinn, Jimmy G, Jared Goff, Jason Garrett, Andy Reid, Doug Marrone, and Bill O'Brien. Those are the names that stand out to me the most. Went out to the phone lines right now. Get your reactions right now at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 in just a second. Let me also introduce the poll question to you for the next 4 hours as well. You can find it on my Twitter, at Zach Gelb, and also at CBS Sports Radio. It's up on both places. And the question is, or just the statement is, the punishment for Tyreek Hill should have been, and the options are 0 games, NFL got it right, 1 to 3 games, 4 to 6 games, or 7 games or more. We'll discuss that later on in the show, but the early returns right now, 33% say 7 games or more, 26% say 0 games, the NFL got it right, 21% say 4 to 6 games, and 20% say 1 to 3 games. So get your votes in. We'll open up the phone lines on that later on in the show when we do talk about Tyreek Hill. But right now I'm looking for a player or coach that, in your opinion, is under the most pressure as we get set, as training camps are opening, and before you know it, the first football Sunday will be here. And I can't wait for that, because these are truly the dog days of summer. I get you have the Open Championship, the Sunday of the Open Championship in what should be rainy Ireland coming up. Actually, getting started in about a few minutes as they moved up the tee times. But the players that you'll be really focused on don't tee off until later, in a few hours, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern is really when those players that you're going to have a keen eye on we'll tee off. There's only so much baseball you can watch. And you have the fight. The fight doesn't really excite me. So we're getting into a big football move. So let's get your football thoughts in right now at 855-212-4CBS. We'll start things off in Memphis, Tennessee. We talked to Seth first up on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Seth, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? I was just going to say Marcus Mariota of the Titans. This will be his fifth year, and it seems like he gets hurt every year, misses three or four games, and he just hasn't panned out the way everyone, you know, thought he would. We took him second in the draft. Last year, I think he had 11 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, and the year before that, he had 13 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. He has a QB rating of under 90, and you know, if he doesn't get things done this year, then I think we should start looking for another quarterback.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Seth, that Titans team, I like the direction they're moving in with the defense. I like Mike Vrabel a lot. I think he brings some great energy when he's just not talking about a specific body part that he would cut off to try to win a Super Bowl. That's where he lost me a little bit. But with Marcus Mariota, I think you bring up a great point because really – the quarterbacks have been 1 and 2 in that draft. Mariota 2, Winston 1. They've been underwhelming. And for Winston, there's been a lot of off-the-field situations that have been disappointing. And for Mariota, he just can't stay healthy. He misses a few games, you know, each and every year. He's not played a full 16 games as a quarterback. 12, 15, 15, and 14 last year. I remember talking to a Titans defensive player. They thought he was going to play. They were joking around in the final game of the season. The injury was a whole lot worse than what they thought. And he didn't play, but yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's pressure on Marcus Mariota because that division, it's truly a dartboard. As you could throw a dart and you could make a case that wherever the dart lands, any one of those four teams in the AFC South can win it. That's not the case for every division. And I get you have a little bit of an insurance policy in Ryan Tannehill, even though he's not always healthy. But right now, we need to see what Marcus Mariota could do this year. Because if he's not the quarterback of the future, and this is his final year on his contract, he's a free agent next year, what do you do? Because if you extend the young quarterback who you know is not great, then you put yourself in a bad situation. But Mariota, he just has not been great. I know they love him. They say he's a winner. They rave about him from Oregon. They really like him in that Titans building. I need to see Mariota step up and deliver this year. Let's go to Virginia. Mary Ellen is with us again on CBS Sports Radio. Mary Ellen, how are you? Good morning.
All right. How are you, Zach?
Doing great. What you got?
I want to say two things. First off, just like you, I am totally psyched about football. I am just like, I can't believe it that we're getting so close to it.
Yeah, I'm like a fat kid in a candy store right now, counting down the days. I'm very excited.
And secondly, I love your show. You do a great job.
Thank you. So who's the player or coach that's under the most pressure this year in your mind?
Oh, Dan Snyder is sharpening up the hatchet for Jay Gruden.
There's no doubt about that. And, hey, Mary Ellen, I appreciate the phone call, and it's a great suggestion. Here's the thing, though. I don't know what to expect for the Redskins. Like, what can you expect? 7-9? 8-8 at best? I know they have a good front seven. But the quarterback situation, when are they going to implement Dwayne Haskins? You heard Joe Theismann the other day. He tells us he would not start him early out in the season, especially with their first five games. So maybe you see him week 6. Jay Gruden, I think he's a good coach. Do I think he's great? No. Do I think he's horrible? No. But yeah, probably next year he won't be the coach of the Redskins. And, you know, I remember when they were talking about the Hard Knocks, he had a line something along, well, if we don't make the playoffs this year, you know, the reporters were saying they were being nice to him. He goes, well, I probably won't be here. And it's true, because even though he did a decent, you know, had a decent start last year, after that injury, that team crumbled. And it's tough when you lose a quarterback, but we see teams lose quarterbacks before and still have good seasons. But it's tough when you lose the second string quarterback as well, and you have to go to Mark Sanchez. And who was the other guy, Graceffo? I forget his name. Who was the guy that picked off the street last year, the Redskins? Was it Josh Johnson?
Correct.
It was Josh Johnson? Okay, yeah. So, and he actually... did he beat the Giants, if memory serves me right? Or had a good game against the Giants, something like that. Didn't do an awful job, but you're not going to win that way in the National Football League. So it's really time for the Redskins. I can't have great expectations. I'm not going to say Gruden's under the most pressure because there's no expectations there. So I'm not going to put him under the same microscope as Bill O'Brien and Doug Marone and Dan Quinn and Andy Reid and Jason Garrett because And Mike Tomlin, because those coaches have good teams. The Redskins are there. They'll be competitive, but they won't be great, and the writing is on the wall. And Mary Ellen put it perfectly. You have Dan Slater getting ready to just chop the coach. And then they'll probably bring in another big name, and they'll have one good year, and then the Redskins will be, continue to be a disaster. All right, let me take one more before the break. Let's go to Jason in Ohio next up, CBS Sports Radio. Jason, what you got?
I think the Arizona Cardinals are under extremely a lot of pressure, you know, wasting their number one draft pick on a quarterback instead of rebuilding their line, coming in with a new coach. It's just hard all over from scratch. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would actually say for the Cardinals, it's a good one. I don't have high expectations for them, but the person I put under the most pressure is Steve Keim. He's the general manager. He threw up all over himself when he made the wrong hire in Steve Wilks, got rid of him after 1 year, drafted Josh Rosen, got rid of him after 1 year, and now he's bringing in Cliff Kingsbury. Wasn't a popular hire. You draft Kyler Murray. They need to show this year that they're moving in the right direction. Because if they go 2-14 and Murray has problems and Kingsbury looks like he's in over his head, then Steve Keim, especially who had an off-the-field problem as well, I don't know how many more excuses you can make for him. And that's someone that, you see me, keeps on getting a free pass, free pass, free pass. The free pass has to end right here with Steve Keim. They don't have to be a 9-win, 10-win team this year. You just have to walk away from this season seeing the foundation being laid with the coach in Kingsbury, seeing improvements with Kyler Murray. I would start in week one. And at the end of the season, you have to feel as if your coach and your quarterback are the franchise coach and the franchise quarterback for the future for this team. If you don't feel great about it at the end of this year, man, Steve Keim, he's going to start thinking, what the heck did I do? And I'm not saying Wilkes is a great coach. I'm not saying Rosen was a great option, but you moved on that quickly. It's a bad look when you're changing a coach and a quarterback that quickly, especially after 1 year in the National Football League and using a high draft pick on Murray and then also Rosen as well. All right, we'll take a timeout if you want to jump on in as well. A coach, a player, a team that's under the most pressure as we get you ready for the 2019 NFL season. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, I have four divisions that I don't have a damn clue how they're going to play out. We'll talk about it on the other side. But first up is John Fast with the latest CBS Sports Update.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. Since we did bring up Josh Johnson starting a few games for the Redskins last year. He started three. Came in relief against the Giants. It was a loss 40-16, so he didn't beat the Giants. But he was 11-16, threw for 195 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Then he did win the Jacksonville game. That shows you how bad Jacksonville was last year and how dysfunctional that was. He was 16-25, a buck 51, a touchdown, no interceptions. And then the last two games of the year, he lost to Tennessee 25-16 and then got blanked by the Eagles 24-0. So for Jay Gruden this year, you're probably counting down the days that you get fired. Not that you're looking forward to it, but I don't see how you survive after this season. I'm not saying it's his fault for the dysfunction or for the way the team's not going to be that great this year. I'm not saying they're going to be horrible. Now, I could see them winning 7 games, maybe 8 games. Do I think there's going to be a 9-7, 10-6 team? No, the Redskins, no. And the tricky part with them is, when do you implement Dwayne Haskins into the fold? Because you have the two quarterbacks there. When do you move on from either of those two, whoever starts the season, assuming it's Case Keenum over Colt McCoy, and when do you put Dwayne Haskins into the fold? If he's the best quarterback in camp, I'd play him. I do that for all rookie quarterbacks. If they're the best player, if they win the job, I would play them. That's been my philosophy. However, with the Redskins' start to their schedule, with how things are, I would probably assume that it's safe to say that Keenum will get a few games and they'll turn it over to Dwayne Haskins. So we'll see what happens there. At Zach Gelb on Twitter, ZACHGELB, where Coach Hayes underscore MHS chimes in and he says, Derek Carr has to be under the most pressure as a player going into his sixth season and now has decent to elite weapons. If he doesn't deliver now, he never will. I'm not saying he's under the most pressure, Derek Carr, but I do believe he's under pressure, especially with the Raiders having two first-round draft picks this upcoming year. That does give them flexibility and the ability to move up in the draft if they had to do so, if they wanted to draft another quarterback. Some people thought that Chucky was going to do that this year, as they had three first-round draft picks this past year, and he put aside that temptation and didn't do so. And with Derek Carr, I'm going to be very curious to see the relationship between Mr. Big Chest and Derek Carr. Because right now it's all roses. Right now it's all buddy-buddy. Just like Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. When the ball isn't going his way, or when there's some struggles that are natural to a young quarterback like Mayfield, or just the way that Carr's career has been, how do those two wide receivers that are very vocal and could be very toxic, even though they're great talents, but we've seen what has happened, how do they respond to that? And is Carr ever going to be the 2015 Carr under Jack Del Rio? I don't know. Will he ever be the 2016 Carr? Because those 2 years, 32-13, 28-6, after that, 22-13, 19-10, he played well at times last year, got off to that bad start. It's about cutting down on the turnovers for Derek Carr. And it's about just being consistently a better quarterback. Because I remember last year, I'm looking at the stats right now. It was start of the year, three interceptions, then no picks, two, two, and one. And then he went on a nice stretch. He went on a stretch of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games of no interceptions. In the final game of the season, he threw two picks. Now, he had some fumbles along the way. Had two fumbles against Seattle, two against San Francisco, one against the Chargers. And to end that season, he had a turnover in 6 games. He had a fumble. Didn't always lose them, but in six straight games of the season, he at least fumbled the ball one time. So the fumbles he has to cut out on them, fumbled the ball 12 times last year, lost 7. The interceptions did a nice job for a stretch. I need to see more consistency, though, out of Derek Carr. And he has weapons this year. So it really is now or never. And it seems Gruden's a fan of him, but the question is for how long? Let's go to Dallas. Grayson joins us next on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Grayson, what you got?
Hi. Give me Aaron Rodgers. I mean, upgraded O-line. This defense looks great. They added the two Smiths and the linebackers. Another year of Kenny Clark. Jair Alexander looks legit. I mean, he's got Davante Adams. They drafted a tight end in the third round. They drafted a guard in the second round. I mean, if any year is the year for the Packers, it's this year.
Yeah, and also, Rodgers got what he wanted. He got the divorce with McCarthy. You bring in a new coach. We'll see how that relationship will play on out. But Aaron Rodgers, hey, he's someone you definitely want on your team. He's a great quarterback. If he retired tomorrow, he'd be in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. Has won a Super Bowl. Has won a Super Bowl MVP. Is a two-time NFL MVP. We know the accomplishments and the accolades on the resume of Aaron Rodgers. However, with this skill set, and he's 35 now, and I understand he got a late start to his career, sitting behind Favre and all that, but you would have thought by now he would have had more than one Super Bowl ring. And he's been a starter since 2008. It's been a long time since he's won a Super Bowl. Can he get back to the Super Bowl this year and win it? And yes, there is a lot of pressure under Aaron Rodgers, no question. All right, the four divisions that I look at right now, I have no clue how they're going to play out. I'll give you the ones how you at least know your options. NFC East, most likely it's going to be Cowboys and Eagles, and this is barring factoring in injuries, which you can never predict. So the NFC East, it's most likely to be Cowboys or Eagles. The NFC West, it's a competitive division. Think the Cardinals will be better? The 49ers will be better? Do the Seahawks regress? We shall see. Most likely the Rams win that division, though. In the AFC, it's the Pats versus all these young quarterbacks. You take the Pats. In the West, I get the Chargers are a good team. That's a two-team race. You're probably leaning towards Kansas City right now. Broncos and Raiders should be improved from 6-10 and 4-12 from a year ago. But you at least have an idea of a team or two in those divisions that we just mentioned that could win it. When it comes down to both the AFC and NFC North and the AFC and NFC South, you don't have a damn clue how this is going to play out. Because you could make a great argument for the Texans with Watson, with Hopkins. I know the offensive line is in question. You still have J.J. Watt if he could stay healthy. Team was 11-5 last year. Then you take a glance at the Colts, the surprise team from a year ago, did a very nice job. Frank Reich, year number one, look back and healthy. Yeah, the emergence of the linebacker that they drafted. You had Quinton Nelson do a phenomenal job at guard. You still have T.Y. Hilton in the fold there. You had Eric Ebron do a very nice job. So that Colts team is good. Tennessee, they were 9-7 last year, almost made the playoffs, lost that final game of the season. And you have to think Jacksonville will be improved this year as they have Nick Foles at quarterback, who I don't know what he will be under the span of a 16-game season. I don't, but we know what he's capable of, and we know he can get hot at any moment. So that AFC South, I said this once, I'll say it again, you could literally put a blindfold over my face, have me throw a dart, and that may be my prediction for the team that wins that division. So the AFC South is very tough to predict. And you get to the North in the AFC, a lot of people are going to pick Cleveland. You can't count out the Steelers and the Ravens. I get the Bengals got off to a good start last year, then injuries killed them. I don't really consider the Bengals as a divisional winner this year, a team that has a shot to win this division. So it's going to come down to, are the Browns legit, as people think? Or do the Steelers and Ravens say, not so fast? Little brother's not ready to grow up. So I'll be very fascinated to see how that one plays out. And then for the NFC North and the NFC South, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in the Lions, but trying to make a prediction right now between the Bears, Vikings, and Packers is very tough. I think it's going to come down to the quarterback play. We all know those three defenses, Bears and Vikings, better than the Packers, but the Packers' defense is improved. I think it comes down to Rodgers, Cousins, and Trubisky. And if you're a Packers fan, you have to feel good. Will Rodgers stay healthy, though, and will the new offense be a smooth transition? Will it be smooth with a new head coach, I should say? Will that be a smooth transition, or will they fight an audible and do all that stuff? And then for the NFC South, I don't love the Bucs. I like Bruce Arians, but I don't love the Bucs. Saints going to be the favorite in this division. However, Atlanta and Carolina, you have a feeling they're better than 7-9 what they were a year ago. So for the most part, if I had to make my predictions today, I would have an idea where I'm going in the NFC East, the NFC West, the AFC East, and the AFC West. But really, in the next few weeks, I'm going to start to make my predictions on the AFC and NFC North and the AFC and NFC South because, man, those are going to be tough. Very, very tough to predict. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we got to get back into the Tyreek Hill situation. Did the NFL get it right? And what would you have done if you were Roger Goodell? How many games would you suspended Tyreek Hill?
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right. right, here we go. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Later today in Cooperstown, you will have the 2019 Hall of Fame class be officially inducted. It's a pretty cool ceremony. It's one I would much rather watch from my couch compared to being there. I have a buddy of mine. He goes each and every year. I've been to the Hall of Fame before. It's a very cool museum. There's no doubt about it. And I get caught up in the whole steroid stuff because I believe that the steroid guys, if they have the numbers, should be in because of the fact that they're great players. It's part of an era and it should be embraced. We shouldn't hide from it. And when you do go around the Hall of Fame, you know, there are mentions of Barry Bonds. And if you want to go the gambling route, there are mentions of Pete Rose and Roger Clemens and so on and so on. The one thing, though, where those players are omitted from is the plaque section. Because in the plaque section of the Hall of Fame, it's only for players that are inducted in the Hall of Fame. So you could have a exhibit of, let's say, Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run for the most home runs in the history of baseball, or you could go to the interactive record books, and you do see those players acknowledge. They don't get the honor, though, of being in the Hall of Fame, which I've always had a problem with. Now, I've vacillated on that over the years, but in the last few years, I've really have standed pat on the side that guys like Clemens, eventually A-Rod, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and so on should all be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not saying you should look at their numbers and say they're 100% authentic. And I'm not saying you should look at the numbers and necessarily say, oh, when you're comparing players, say this player is definitely better because he hit 700-something home runs compared to someone that only hit 560 that was clean. I'm not saying that. But when I look back at it, when I think of Barry Bonds, what I think of? You may think of a jerk. You may think of a cheater. I think great baseball player. One of the more entertaining baseball players I've ever seen. I can't stand Roger Clemens. Growing up as a Mets fan, Roger Clemens was enemy number one. I was a Piazza guy. I can't stand Roger Clemens. One of my favorite baseball games I ever have attended was actually when they tried to retaliate against Roger Clemens. They threw behind him. It was Sean Estes. They missed. Estes eventually hit a home run off Clemens later in the game, and so did Piazza. And I remember as a kid sitting in the dump that was our dump of Shea Stadium and just chanting in a taunting way, Roger, Roger, Roger. And it was a great memory. But even with the dislike of Roger Clemens as a player, you have to respect his greatness. Now, I'm not saying that you should believe that it was pure and the numbers would have been that way without roids, but still, he was a great pitcher. And Bonds, before people thought he was using, was still a great player. So it doesn't make sense to me how two of the better players that I've ever seen in my life aren't in the Hall of Fame. And it was an era. It happened. Baseball allowed it. And it's actually good for the game. It was. And then you'll have people that will say, oh, well, you should put Clemens and Bonds in, but don't put Sosa and McGwire. Why? Sosa and McGwire, to me, should be Hall of Famers, too. They have the stats. And once again, you may not look at them the same way you look at other players. That's fine. If you want to put a little mark on the plaque, this player played in the steroid era, this player tested positive, you know, for players that did, or this player believed to take starts, if you want to do that, it's fine. It's about telling a story. To me, that's what the Hall of Fame's about. It's about telling the story of the great players in the game that played in the game. And in my life, if a young person said, who were some of the better players that you saw growing up? Well, how do I exclude Sosa, McGuire, Clemens, Bonds, and so on and so on? You can't. And then some will say, well, you could still tell people about that. They just don't go in the Hall of Fame because it's part about, you know, it's a punitive action. It's the way the writers get back at them for what they did. And, hey, I always go back to Pudge, Ivan Rodriguez. He's in the Hall of Fame. And he was once asked, did you ever take steroids? And he said, only God knows the answer to that. That was his answer. So it is unfortunate each and every year whenever the Hall of Fame class does get inducted that we bring up the steroid thing, but it's part of it. And it always will be part of the conversation. Now, in terms of this class, Mariano Rivera, I had zero problem with him being 100%. And I understand people say, well, Ken Griffey Jr. was a unanimous and other great players weren't unanimous and all that. I don't care. Those were writers who were dopey that should have voted those players 100%. And whatever their motives were in not doing so, it was stupid. But for Mariano Rivera, how do you justify leaving him off your ballot? That's what and some people say, oh, because he was a closer. So? Mariano Rivera, to me, when I look at that list, there's no way I could put more names on there and leave him off. So, zero problem, Mariano Rivera be 100%. Now, when we get to the rest of the list, I get there's some controversy with Messina, with Lee Smith, with Harold Baines. You could have your opinion. And to be fair, I'm not an expert on Lee Smith and Harold Baines. The Baines thing is very head-scratching. I was talking about with Graceffo during the break about Messina. Messina, to me, was very good. He wasn't great. He had some very impressive seasons, no doubt. And he was a very good pitcher. I just never thought he was great. And I'm not going to knock him on his day. Congratulations. He got in. It's a process. It's a voting. And he's a Hall of Famer. No one could ever take that away from him. Same with Harold Baines and Lee Smith. You could never take that honor away from them. So today, even though we will talk about should someone be in or should someone not be in, and steroids and all that, it's also a day of celebration. And Mariano Rivera, you celebrate. Messina, you celebrate. Harold Baines, you celebrate. Lee Smith, you celebrate. Edgar Martinez, to me, is a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. And that's someone that you celebrate. And then it's also a day of remembrance, and you celebrate a life. And that, of course, is the life of Roy Doc Holliday, who, unfortunately, in the plane accident, passed away way too soon. And living in Philadelphia for a while, developing a relationship with Charlie Manuel, you find out how special of a person Roy Doc Holliday was. And when he pitched, you knew he was a great pitcher. That was one of the more feared pitchers in the story, and the way that he found success, it's truly a remarkable story. And the unfortunate part is, even though he is going into the Hall of Fame, he won't be here to see this prestigious honor. And I'm sure for his family, it's going to be a happy day and a somber day. There's going to be tears of joy, and there's going to be tears of sadness. So a congratulations to all the Hall of Famers. Whether you agree or disagree, whether you think they should be in or not be in, it doesn't matter today. Because today is a celebration of their careers. It is. And it's fun to debate, but the process is the process. You may have things that you want to change and alter with the process, and I've talked about that before. I would like to diversify the vote a little bit, get team broadcasters involved, give a vote out to the players that are in the Hall of Fame, go away from just the writers. I would expand the ballot too, just by a few names, you know, a few maximum amount of people out on the ballot. But really, You know, when I look at the Hall of Fame, and there's a lot of things you can't defend in the life of Pete Rose, too. Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. He's the hit king. He should be in. Now, he broke the one rule that you can't break in baseball. Still, though, he's a great player. And I go back to the history of it. I can't tell the history of baseball without Pete Rose. And I get it. You can still tell the history with him not being in the Hall of Fame. But the Hall of Fame, to me, is for great players. And there's a lot of great players that are left out of the Hall of Fame. Steroid guys. Guys that gambled on baseball. I get it's frowned upon what they did. I get it's not going to be embraced. I just don't love not having him in. And hey, for guys that aren't in the Hall of Fame that should be, you know, I think of Bonds, I think of McGuire, I think of Clemens, I think of Sosa, Manny Ramirez, Gary Sheffield to me should be in, over 500 home runs. Curt Schilling. I think Curt Schilling should be a Hall of Famer too. And that's a guy who claims he never cheated. I've had those conversations with Curt before. I do believe his political stances, his political stance does play a factor into this. And I've told Curt before, I don't agree with a lot of what he says politically. And he was a good regular season pitcher and a great, and I mean a great postseason pitcher. And he should be in as well. That is just some of the names off the top of the brain that come to mind right away of guys that should be in. You know, even Palmeiro. With the stats that he put up, and I get people say, no, he shouldn't be in, cheater, cheater, cheater. With the stats that he has, it was an error that happened. And yes, the stats are inflated. I get that. And I get the whole Congress situation with a lot of these guys didn't play well. I still put them in. And years down the road, you know, when you get further and further down, you know, I'll be curious to see what happens. Will Bonds and Clemens ever get in? Will Sosa and McGuire ever get in? Will Alex Rodriguez, who has totally reshaped his image, will he get in? Will Ortiz get in? And if you want to hold it against guys and make them wait until the last minute or make the Veterans Committee elect them, then okay. But they eventually do have to get in. And that's just my two cents on that.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Landing the plane on a Sunday morning. All right, here, and we do so with a little game that we like to call Sunday Stocks. Sus, ring that New York City Stock Exchange bell.
Another week is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up. And who's down?
Sell!
It's Sunday Stocks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's start things off in the positive side of things, and that's Madison Bumgarner. The Giants, I don't view them as a playoff team, but they're in contention, only 2.5 out of the wild card. He's also increasing his value. We already know his postseason excellence. In the past, the other day, goes 9 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run. He's 5-7 this year, but has a 3.65 ERA. If I'm the Giants, I would say thank you for all that you've done for the franchise. We're most likely not going to give you a new contract at the end of the year. So I would trade him, and you get a whole lot back. But if I'm Madison Bumgarner, I put myself in a great position. Because, number one, if they keep you, that means they're going to give you a big, fat extension, most likely. And if they trade you, you're going back to where you belong, and that's the postseason. And I would love to see him on, whether it's the Yankees, the Astros, the Twins, whoever, even the Braves. Seeing Bumgarner back in the postseason would be fun, because as a Mets fan, I'm not going to be seeing postseason baseball with my team in it. So may as well see Bumgarner in the postseason. I hope that he does get traded, because then he'll be going to a playoff team. So stock up to Madison Bumgarner. Stock up number two. How about the Wimbledon final from last week? Absolutely sensational. A classic between Roger Federer, who I wanted to see win. Nothing against Novak Djokovic, but I'm just a huge Roger Federer fan. But that was great tennis. It was a whole lot of fun to watch. Usually we don't highlight tennis, but that was an instant classic. So a stock up to Roger and Djokovic for providing us great television in a time when we need it in the dog days of summer. So stock up to the Wimbledon final. Buddy boy, James Graceffo, how are you? What you got for me?
First stock up's going to Patrick Mahomes. Now, while all this Tyreek Hill off the field news is terrible, as we all can admit, the thing that matters most to Patrick Mahomes is what's going on the field. And now he gets to have the most explosive player in the league catching passes from him once again in a season that could be an MVP type of season for Patrick Mahomes. Now, if Tyreek Hill had unfortunately had to miss some games, maybe we couldn't say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes having a shot at winning the NFL MVP. So stock up Patrick Mahomes. He gets his weapon back without any sort of suspension.
You know, it's really amazing when you look at the timeline how we got here on that entire Tyreek Hill situation. Because when the news first did leak out, we all assumed guilty, 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 guilty. And that's just how society works now. And now we take a look at it, and he skated free here. Now, from what we know in the reports, they ruled the broken arm as an accident. Now, there are other reports that state that there were bruises and welts on the child, and Crystal Espinal and Tyreek Hill have told authorities that they have hit their child with the belt and also their hands, which is disgusting. I was surprised, though, in the Hill situation that he got zero games, because I thought just at a bare minimum, they would have given him a suspension for what happened on that audio where he does say to Crystal Espinal, you should be terrified of me too, and drops the B word, especially with what happened with Jimmy Smith a year ago. So I was a little bit surprised that I was definitely surprised that Tyreek Hill got zero games. I thought he was going to get anywhere from when this all started, once you found out some more of the facts, I thought it'd be anywhere from 2 to 8, 6 or 8 being on the heavy side. Which I would have been fine with if that was the case. But when I look back at it last week, I thought he was going to get 4 games, and he did not. So it is a win for the Kansas City Chiefs, and the NFL is going to roll the dice and hope no more information does come out. And if it does, guess what? We'll all be outraged. We'll all freak out. But at the end of the day, we will go back to watching football because it's the greatest drug on this planet. And each and every week, look at what the NFL has survived, and we always do watch. All right, Graceffo, what's up? Number 2.
Second stock up's going to Steven Strasburg, and not for what he did on the mound. This week, Steven Strasburg had a start in Atlanta, where he hit a home run and knocked in 5 runs. Steven Strasburg became the 7th pitcher since the year 2000 to knock in 5 runs in one game. 3 for 3, home run, and 5 RBIs. Steven Strasburg, great performance for the Nationals ace.
So you're telling me you would not be a fan of the NL adding a DH?
It's going to happen, but no, I would not. I would like to see the game remain the way it's been for a century.
So you're not buying the commissioner, Rob Manfred, at the All-Star break saying it's not inevitable, how everyone thinks it's inevitable. I agree with you. I think it's inevitable.
It's inevitable. The Players Association knows it's inevitable. They want it to be inevitable. They want the extra job that the DH creates in the National League, or the extra 15 jobs that it creates in the National League. So for him to say it's not inevitable, we all know it is. And every league now has adopted it. The way that baseball was played a century ago is no longer exists anywhere else except the National League. So take that info for what you will.
All right, let's go. Stock down number 1. The new name of the Rutgers Stadium. It's a company called SHI International Corporation. The name of the stadium is going to be SHI Stadium. Well, this is Rutgers. You could already imagine the jokes that are happening. For example, they lose 72-0 to Michigan. Fan leaves. Oh, I just left that show. Because that's what Rutgers football has been. They've been an embarrassment. There's a letter missing on that stadium. And I know a lot of people at Rutgers. I have a lot of respect for their athletic director and Pat Hobbs. Chris Ash has been very kind to me, but not the brightest of ideas, even with the money that they're getting, to go with SHI as the new stadium name. Because I'm even looking at NJ.com right now. It says Rutgers is taking lots of bleep, SHI with a asterisk, on social media for new stadium name. So couldn't have Rutgers got some money elsewhere instead of going with SHI Stadium? Well, improve the football team and people will look back and laugh. Until then, you're going to have disgruntled alumni leaving and saying, we're leaving. Stadium. So stock down to Rutgers, SHI, leaving a letter out, new stadium name, because it is a SHI, leave a letter out show. Stock down, Rutgers. All right. Practice what you preach. That's my message to Jonah Carey, who is a baseball writer, and I think he most recently worked at The Athletic. He's been very vocal over the years on Twitter about domestic violence, which is fair. Some tweets have said, reminder that MLB's record on domestic violence is terrible too. He was talking about Jose Reyes once. He said, combine domestic violence with being a spectacularly bad baseball player. Sounds great. When Buster only once had a tweet about how teams were interested in Jose Reyes. And then there was one about Aroldis Chapman when he's with the Cubs. Not a big fan of domestic abuse. Otherwise, I wish Cub fans all the luck in the world. Well, you're reading those takes and you're saying, okay, they're fine. But then you find out this past week that Jonah Carey is facing 3 counts of assault and 1 count of uttering death threats to his wife. So, Jonah Carey, practice what you preach. That's my message. And it's a little bit interesting how some of these tweets have now been deleted. The one thing is, even though if you delete something, it lives on the internet forever. Stock down to Jonah Carey.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell! Sell!
We now go to the negative side of things for James Graceffo. Some may say that's a daily occurrence, but James, what do you got for us?
First one goes to my favorite NFL quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, once again, putting his foot
your
in
his... Your favorite NFL team, yep, the Cleveland Browns.
Once again, Baker Mayfield putting his foot in his mouth when he simply does not know what he's talking about. He wants to coddle Odell Beckham Jr. so badly that he has to rip the Giant fan, the New York Giant fan. And I don't like the Giants. You know me as much as the next guy.
Oh, you
I don't,
hate them.
I don't like the Giants. But you know what the Giants do? They at least fill their stadium. They at least people get go to people to go to the swamp and see when the Giants are 3-10 to go see the Cowboys or 3-10 to go see the Eagles. The Giants at least have people in the building. Now, he did what he had to do to coddle his new baby Odell Beckham Jr. Want to make him feel better. Everybody likes Odell. We're not gonna hold it against him for who he is here. Listen. Our buddy Sean Marash went to Browns Giants 2 years ago. That crap show.
In Cleveland?
In Cleveland. You know what he paid to get in the door? $14.
Really?
Yeah. You tell me the next time you can go to a Giant game around here for $14.
And let me say this. I do think Cleveland fans are very loyal to stick with that team. But the part that I will say here, and I happen to like Baker Mayfield, and I don't mind Odell Beckham Jr., Why does Odell, he keeps on obsessing with the Giants, and now he's getting Baker on board.
Because he wants to be right. He wants to be the guy who was right in the situation. Well, he can't just move on.
Go win games. All of them can't.
They don't even have to defend Beckham. They should just say, Beckham's here now. We're moving on. We're not talking about the Giants. We don't know anything about what Beckham did with the Giants here. They should just say that. But instead, they got to coddle him. He's got to be the new baby here. Mayfield's got to make him feel good about himself. And he's going to rip the Giant fan, which is out of line. Stockdale.
Cleveland's favorite son, James Graceffo, right there.
Second one goes to Jim Harbaugh.
Now, if the Browns go 11-5, man, you're going to have a rough
year. They're not going to go 11-5. Second one goes to Jim Harbaugh. Jim went on a podcast with Tim Kawakami and basically said Urban Meyer has these things following him all over the place.
He's not wrong.
Once again, you don't talk about other people's programs. And now it just comes off his sour grapes that he couldn't beat Urban Meyer. Hope nothing comes out of Jim Harbaugh's closet when it comes to a recruit or anything like that. Because guess who's going to shove something in his face? Urban Meyer or Urban Meyer's family. Stock down.
And Urban Meyer probably be coaching USC next year, too. All right, fun show today. Sus, great job. Graceffo, great job. Everyone on the updates, tape ops, listening, tweeting, calling. Thanks, James Palmer from NFL Network, jumping on board, giving us some perspective on Tyreek Hill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.